The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing the man, and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding regions of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Jesus Christ.
The Word of God is Scripture. The Word of God is Jesus. We cannot conceive of one without the other. The Bible without Jesus, or Jesus without the Bible. And because Christ is the subject of all the scriptures, St. Jerome insists, ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ. In accordance to this great truth, His Holiness, Pope Francis, stated that it would be beneficial if every Christian community on one Sunday of the liturgical year could renew its efforts to make the sacred scriptures better known and more widely diffused. It would be a Sunday given over entirely to the Word of God, so as to appreciate the inexhaustible riches contained in that constant dialogue between the Lord and His people. Therefore, in the Diocese of Hamilton, Bishop Crosby has chosen today, the fourth Sunday of Ordinary Time, each year as our day to emphasize how the Bible speaks, and how we listen. Before we begin, we need to ask, what is the Bible and what it is not? The Bible is the inspired recording of revelation containing the Word of God. That is, it contains those revealed truths which the Holy Spirit wishes to be transmitted in writing. However, all revealed truths are not contained in the Bible. Jesus did not hand over a physical copy of his teachings and commandments to his disciples and to his apostles. What he did deposit within his church was his teachings contained within sacred tradition and the magisterium of his church. Several years down the road, when it became apparent that Jesus' second coming might not come within the lifetime of the apostles, it was decided to transfer some of Christ's teachings and the stories of Jesus' journeys onto paper. Our current Bible came into its present form in about 367 AD. Saint Athanasius came up with a list of 73 books for the Bible that he believed to be divinely inspired. This list was finally approved by Pope Damasus I in 382 AD and was formally approved by the Church Council of Rome in that same year. Later, councils at Hippo and Carthage ratified this list of 73 books. The Council of Trent in 1546 reaffirmed St. Athanasius's original list of 73 books. When we say that scriptures are divinely inspired, we do not imply that the scribes pens were being moved by the hand of God. God inspired the authors of sacred scripture, but he did not interfere with the writings of the authors. God allowed them to write his revelations in their own words. God's message, therefore, is expressed in human language, language that we can understand. The Bible is not a science book. When stories in the Bible, such as the creation story, is told, it was written not so much as to explain how God created creation, but to explain why he did so. Why did God create the world? The Bible is a collection of 73 books. 46 books make up what we call the Old Testament, and 27 books make up what we call the New Testament. The Old Testament is subdivided into the Pentateuch, the first five books which comprise the Jewish Torah. The other books in the Old Testament are categorized as historical books, the books of wisdom and poetry, and the prophetical books. The New Testament is comprised of the four Gospels of Saints Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the historical book of the Acts of the Apostles, the letters of St. Paul, and the Catholic letters and the Apocalypse of St. John, which is known as the Book of Revelation. Some people have questioned why our Bible must contain the Old Testament if Jesus came down from heaven to make a new covenant with mankind. Jesus himself gives the answer in the Gospel of St. Matthew. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." Therefore, it is important to know what the Old Testament prophets had proclaimed if we are to follow the workings of Christ. The Bible is not primarily a historical accounting of the world, although some books of the Bible are historical. The Bible is not primarily a moral compendium of how to live our lives, although some books contain instructions on how to live a moral and chaste life. The Bible is not primarily a book of praise, although many books in the Bible offer God our heartfelt praise and worship. So, what is the Bible? The Bible is a love story. It is a love story that has been written just for you. In it, God is telling you how much he loves you and cares for you. He shows you how to live your life that it may be filled with the utmost joy and the greatest of satisfaction. If the Bible then is a love story written just for us, then how are we supposed to read it? Well, read the Bible as a love letter from your lover. Just don't read words to get them over with, but read them slowly and savor each and every word. Take your time. I remember St. Benedict in his rules for his order, he told each of his monks that when they read scripture, one, you should read it aloud, and when you read it slowly, and he says you should chew on each word. And the words that he used was not so much as chew, but he says like a dog, you gnaw on the bone, gnawing on a bone that you're there to try to get every bit of goodness out of that bone. And that's how we're supposed to read scriptures. Read a paragraph or two. Stop to reflect on what you have read. Take a line, memorize it, and carry it with you throughout the day, stopping every once in a while to say, "I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." While reading the scriptures, ask yourselves these four basic questions. One, what does it say? Determine as closely as possible the literal meaning of the text. What do the words say? What is the range of meaning in the words? Two, what does it mean? The meaning of a text is determined not simply from the words, but also from the context in which the words exist. Three, what does it mean to me? How does this apply to my life? How does this apply to the life of the church? 4. What am I going to do about it? What difference does this text mean for my life? What is my response to God's word? This last step has a lot of meaning in my life. I remember reading Matthew 22, the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So God was telling me, how am I going to love my neighbor? To love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, that's easy. You know, we just sort of say it. There's no proof. There is no commitment. But to love your neighbor as yourself, that was something that says, what am I going to do about it? And I think that was, for me, was one of the seeds of my becoming a deacon in the church. So we need to ask ourselves, just like I said, we don't read scriptures as a comic book, you know, just sort of read it and get it over with to pass the time. But it's something that we really want to bring into ourselves. Remember that our Father in heaven desires to have a relationship with us, and he knows us intimately. And by our reading of scriptures, we have that opportunity to also to get to know him better and to slowly grow our faith with the graces of heaven. God bless you.